Ram sails to a surprising win at Naval Base Coronado. The regular season points battle tightens once again, and Brandon Hutchison of Echo Park Speedway joins us here on Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome to the show, Doug Rice, with Alexis Erickson and Brad Gilley. And the most anticipated race of the 2026 season is now in the record books. Naval Base Coronado hosted NASCAR's three premier series and did not disappoint. We're going to start off just a little bit different here, and we'll hear the last lap from the Motor Racing Network and some comments from Corey Heim. But Alexis, I'll start with you and then go to Brad. I want your 30,000-foot view of your impressions of what happened this weekend at Naval Base Coronado.
I mean, I think it was a great event. I can only give my opinion from sitting on my couch at home because I, of course, was not there at Naval Base Coronado. It looked picturesque. You had all these great views of, you know, the aircraft carrier and just things you don't typically see when you're watching a NASCAR race. And that was a bit refreshing. The races themselves, I think we were treated yesterday with a very good race and a good event. I think there are some things that could be said about the truck race and the O'Reilly race as far as the racing and the competition was concerned. But overall, I think it was a fantastic weekend, and I think it's something that NASCAR should be really proud of.
Brad Gilley, this race was as much public relations and showcasing as it was competition. How did it go for you?
Here's what I thought was really cool about the entire weekend, and I'll look at it as the event. We can break down the races and all of those other things as well, but I thought this was such a cool thing to be able to take an active Navy base and actually put together a street circuit, which actually was competitive and allowed for plenty of passing, and pull off just an incredible weekend. And the whole collaboration between the United States Navy and NASCAR in every single aspect, whether it was having sailors walking the drivers to the drivers meeting, to having Friday initially exclusively just for active members on the military base to be able to see the Truck Series race. And when all those tickets were distributed, they sold some more, to having the Prime broadcast team sitting on the aircraft carrier Carl Vinson. All of those things just made for just a wonderful collaborative weekend with the United States military and with NASCAR, and having the men and women who defend our freedoms day in and day out to be a big part of such an amazing weekend. I thought that was just really, really cool.
I concur. The staging of this event was a 10 on a 10 scale. So well done there. Now let's get into some of the nuts and bolts of the racing. Here's how it sounded at the end.
Here's Corey Heim off turn number 16. Naval Base Coronado military time. Locally, it's 17:15. In NASCAR, it's Heim time. Corey Heim has won the Anduril 250 race on the base. His first career win in his 13th career start. The 23-year-old from Marietta, Georgia is a NASCAR Cup Series winner.
Well played there by Alex Hayden on the Motor Racing Network. Good call. You nailed that one. And, of course, Corey Heim nailed the win, kind of shocked everyone. Here's his reaction.
So speechless, man. I mean, it's even hard to, like, get emotional right now because it doesn't feel real. Like, I feel like I'm in a dream and I'm going to wake up in a couple seconds and it's just going to go back to where I was at. So, I don't know. I just I had a weird feeling coming into this weekend that it was going to be something special. I was just so excited when I first got here. It's an even playing field for me, something that I don't get to see every day going against all this experience. But I don't know. It's just I didn't expect to win this year. You know, I was trying to learn and get better, and sure enough, we won. So it's just nuts.
Well, he's learning, Brad Gilley, and he's getting better, apparently.
Yeah, well, this is the guy who's won 26 races in the Truck Series in just a very short career, and pretty much nearly won half of them last year on the way to a championship. But, man, his development, and Corey Heim does a lot behind the scenes with the Gen 7 race car with Toyota and 2311 Racing, but still, his development has just been so rapid. To think he led eight laps of the Daytona 500, He led 69 laps of the Coca-Cola 600, and now here he is leading the final three laps in the inaugural race on Coronado Island in San Diego, and his first trip to victory lane in just 13 career cup starts. That is just incredible.
By the way, NASCAR has hosted two street course races here in the U.S., Chicago and San Diego, and the first one of each one had a first-time winner, with Corey Heim winning, and of course, SVG winning at Chicago. Alexis, speaking of SVG, it felt like the absolute nexus and turning point of this race was when he was collected in a crash that took out Connor Zillich and Austin Hill. Austin Hill took the blame on that one, but that allowed the chance for somebody else not named SVG to win. At least it felt that way, in my opinion.
It completely changed the complexion of the race. I mean, you had your commentators saying during the broadcast, like, look, it's not lost on us that most of the competitors came in here thinking that they were racing for second. And it's, you don't normally see that. You don't normally see there be that much of, you know, a foregone conclusion, even in the garage area, of people just thinking, okay, well, we're here and we're going to see who can finish second to this guy who has been just lights out on road courses. But when you have an incident, if you have an incident on pit road, or you get into a crash, or something out of your control happens, this is what shakes things up. And that's exactly what happened at Naval Base Coronado during the race. Completely changed the complexion, because, you know, he wasn't dominating up until that point, but we all know that that's kind of his MO, right? Like, he knows how to save his tires. He knows how to save his equipment. So he was just kind of biding his time. And I, for one, think if that hadn't happened, then that probably would have been the start of him dominating the event at that point in the race. And also, you have to look at Zillich too, because he was strong there for a while. So yeah, it took out two of the biggest competitors of the weekend of the race, and that changed the complete complexion of everything.
Brad Gilley, how smart does Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan look now, having locked up Corey Heim after this weird season where a guy that was so good kind of floated around?
Yeah, well, you know, here's what's funny. Denny, if you've listened to him on his podcast, has been a longtime champion of Corey Heim. And I think any NASCAR fan who's paid attention to what he's done in the truck series has said, why is this guy not in a cup car already? But I thought to myself this morning, it's a good thing that 2311 Racing already made the announcement during the Nashville weekend that Heim is going to run full-time for the team next year, because if they hadn't, I think that might have been the bigger social media swarm of, when are you going to sign this guy? Well, they have, and we know what his future is going to be. But you're right, Denny Hamlin really has been someone who recognized his talent early on.
So for Corey Heim, congratulations. A nice piece of history. And there can only be one first-time winner, Alexis, and now it's got a very young person's name on it.
You had a lot of people who were there, you know, at the Naval Base this weekend, saying that the atmosphere there was very large, obviously. It was this huge event, but almost to the point where it felt like it's a crown jewel. It's certainly not, because, you know, when you think about that, there are specific races on the NASCAR schedule that are that, but it had that feeling to it. So just imagine being a 23-year-old, you know, you've got a full-time ride next year in the Cup Series, you're, you know, learning, you're doing everything you need to do, and you go out and win one of the biggest races, you know, that there has been in years. That's, I mean, I just can't imagine what he's going through right now.
I personally have not had this kind of anticipation about a race going all the way back to the first Brickyard.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. This was bigger to me than the Chicago race and some of the new speedways that was opened. This had momentum behind it, and I don't think that it disappointed. I felt totally vindicated.
I mean, between just the event itself, where it's happening, the unprecedented nature of it, and then America 250, you know, that is this monumentous thing for our nation. I think, it was a big deal.
We'll get into the discussion of, do we go back? It feels like the door has been cracked open. You heard Ben Kennedy comment about that late last night. So will we return to the Navy base? We will find out. And I don't think that that answer is going to be very long in coming. Time now for our Toyota race report. Corey Heim, of course, won it. A good day for 2311. Bubba Wallace finished second and was a little disappointed, I felt like, at the end of the race.
race.
Well, that was a huge comeback for him, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later, but what a comeback for that team.
Riley Herbst, and Brad, this was one I felt weird about. They interviewed Riley because he has a top 10 finish, and he's sitting there thinking, yeah, but the guy that won's going to be in my car next year.
Well, right. So two shots on Riley Herbst yesterday, and I felt for him for being asked about, hey, man, how about Corey Heim winning? And to your point, he's taking his job. But at one point, 2311 was running first, second, third, and fifth. And what they kept talking about, whoa, 2311's first, second, and third with Tyler Reddick and Corey Heim and Bubba Wallace. Well, just one more spot behind the next car was actually the fourth car at 2311, and that was Riley Herbst. He was like getting no love yesterday.
And it's weird because for the first time in his Cup career in the last month, he's actually been a part of the story.
He really has.
He's
yeah.
not just been an afterthought. So hang in there, Riley. Denny Hamlin finished 14th. We'll talk about that too. Ty Gibbs and John Hunter Nemechek also finished inside the top 20. That is our Toyota race report. Brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at toyotaracing.com.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family. It's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
This is Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Chase Elliott on his relationship with Napa.
His fit for your 13th year together. They've been a great partner. I think as time goes on, those relationships get better if you're lucky enough to have a partner for that length of time, because they get to know you, you get to know them, we figure out what works for each other, and we can really start pulling the rope in the same direction. And I think that that's where our relationship has really thrived the most.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business.
There were two big narratives going into the race at Naval Base Coronado. One was that SVG would win, looked pretty good until it didn't. And then the other was that Tyler Reddick would pad his points lead over Denny Hamlin. And Brad Gilley, that did not play out as so many of us thought it might.
Tyler Reddick had that left front go down and relegated him to a 25th place finish. And the fact that both Denny Hamlin and Tyler Reddick did not collect any stage points during stage one or stage two meant that they were even ground when it came to the end of the race. And with Hamlin finishing 14th, he was actually able to gain 11 points on Tyler Reddick and whittle down that lead that Reddick has to just 8 heading into Sonoma. I would not have had it on my bingo card that Hamlin would have outpointed Reddick in San Diego.
Alexis, that was one of our talking points last week on this very show, was now's the chance for Tyler Reddick to extend this out. He's got Navy Base Coronado. He's got Sonoma. Denny is just adequate at those places. And for right now, Denny comes out, as Brad said, 8 points back. It's practically a dead heat.
Yeah, he obviously survived with a 14th place finish yesterday in San Diego. And Tyler Reddick, I mean, what could have been? You know, he was, I don't know, a handful of laps away from really, you know, probably padding in the other way for himself, and just didn't happen. And I think he was quite dejected after the race, because I think he's starting to feel like this is happening more and more, where the team is having a hard time closing these races out and getting good finishes. And that, you know, that plus Denny Hamlin's incredible run that he's been on is what has whittled this lead down to what it is now. I'm not sure if he is very optimistic heading into Sonoma. Obviously, he's a great road racer, and we know that, but look what just happened, and that could potentially happen again this coming weekend, and then he may find himself second instead of first.
There's a 25-point bonus, Brad, if you can clinch this regular season. As we sit now with 9 races to go, do you see anyone not named Denny Hamlin or Tyler Reddick being in the mix?
No, I think that's I'm not going to say impossible. that wouldn't be good at all now, would it? But when you look at who's next in line in the point standings, it's Ryan Blaney. Ryan Blaney is 133 points back from Tyler Reddick right now. So that is more than a race. That's almost a race in, well, that's actually more than a race and a half for Ryan Blaney. And we're down to 9 in the regular season. I think that would be a pretty insurmountable task. But who would have thought Denny Hamlin would have made up 121 points over the course of 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah, we've already seen that play out this year. Alexis, one of the more monumental things, and I saw it happen, and I'm going like, he just let him back in. They're racing toward the end of the race, and Tyler Reddick moves Corey Heim out of the way. Not wasn't the most egregious. I thought it was kind of like, I don't even know if that's a foul called in an NBA game. But then he lets him have the spot back. And after that, it was effectively over because Reddick had problems. But I just thought, did I really see that? So it's hard to boo against good sportsmanship, I guess.
Certainly good sportsmanship, no doubt about that. But you wonder, would it have played out the same way if it wasn't a teammate, you know, that Tyler Reddick was racing? He did get Corey Heim a little bit out of shape, and I think he realized in the car that it was his fault. You know, the onus was on him in that moment, and so he gave him the spot back, and that was it. I mean, from that point on, Corey Heim was gone. And then obviously Tyler had the issue with his, with his tire, and then it was all over from there. But yes, I think that was one of the pivotal points of the race, because potentially if he would have fought a little bit harder for that position, who knows what would have happened.
Brad, were you kind of surprised?
Hey, look, I look at it this way. The champions of our sport, and there's a long list of greats, are all takers. They're not givers. In fact, some of the drivers that we have talked about that were true gentleman racers, which I respect them, also don't have championships as well. So I think if you want to win this title, you got to be a taker. I don't care if it has the same team name underneath the left front headlight of your car or not.
I was shocked. I was dumbfounded, because it's not like he did something outrageous or over the top.
Yeah.
Nobody would have questioned him moving him out of the way a little bit like that to go on and get the win.
I think maybe it's a little bit shocking too, because you look at like the truck race, right? And then you look at the conversations that Jimmy Johnson had in the media about the truck race and how he felt like everybody was not racing with respect and all of these things, and how and so just like the juxtaposition of what we saw from the 2 lower level series, and then seeing Tyler Reddick, who is the points leader, give a spot back. Like, it just, we don't see that very often. It's something we don't see. And I think everybody was a little taken back by it, because it's not commonplace these days for that to happen. And maybe it's because of what Brad says. And, you know, you got to be more aggressive to find yourself on the winning side of these battles. But it was a little shocking, I think, for everybody.
All right, Brad, are we living in some sort of alternate universe now where everybody is pulling for Jimmy Johnson to come back and run trucks?
Oh, man. The way he raced on Friday and practiced and qualified and all of that, took the lead, I was here for it. I was up on the wheel sitting there watching that from my living room going, come on, Jimmy. It was kind of a shame to see the way the race ended for him, but heck yeah.
If he wants to come back, do it every week. I signed up for that too. All right, we got to take a break. Coming up a little bit later on, Brandon Hutchison of Echo Park Speedway.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years, to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
There was a time when speed wasn't a sport, it was survival. The hills of Wilkes County made outlaws. Only one rule, don't get caught. That's one thing that hasn't changed. This July, short track chaos and nowhere to hide. Only now, it's a points race. Be there when it matters. The Window World 450, July 19th at North Wilkesboro Speedway. Get tickets today at northwilkesborospeedway.com.
This is Ryan Preece, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Boy, what a save! We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon in turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs.
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Blaney, bottom of the racetrack. Chastain makes it three wide. He'd like to take a spot here on the backstretch, and he charges. He wants the lead in turn three. Ross Chastain shot out of a cannon from the sixth starting spot. He has already moved up to second. The battle now for third on the high side. Kyle Larson, Riley Herbst challenging low.
Kyle Larson moves up to the top side. Going to lose a little bit of ground.
This is PRN.
Continue our discussion about Naval Base Coronado a little bit later on in the show. Doug Rice, Alexis Erickson, and Brad Gilley with you on Fast Talk. But coming up very quick on the calendar is NASCAR's trip to Echo Park Speedway in lovely Hampton, Georgia. Vice President, General Manager Brandon Hutchison joins us. Brandon, always good to chat with you. Thanks a lot for being on the show today.
Likewise, Doug. Good to see you. Glad to be on. Thank you for having me today. I appreciate it.
So tell us what things are like there on the grounds with your second race of the season just a few weeks out.
I'll tell you, Alexis, things are getting ramped up, no doubt about it. We're excited about the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart. Hard to believe that it's just 20 days away, but things are starting to take shape. Paint's going down. Walls are getting painted. Safer barriers getting checked. The banners are starting to go up. So it's all coming together, and we're excited about it. Can't get here quick enough.
Look, I love coming to your track, Brandon. It is one of the most beautiful facilities that we have, the landscaping and all of that. When the name changed to Echo Park Speedway, it's like we get to go to a brand new place, the way everything's been redone and remodeled. I'm interested in some of the off-track things because we could talk about on-track for days, and I know we will. But you guys have a wild amount of entertainment. And let me just say, because I saw something similar at one of our sister tracks, Dover Motor Speedway, the Sea Lion Show. I know this sounds corny for a NASCAR race, but I cannot tell you how many people were so just vividly entertained by something like that. Y'all have a lot going on.
Well, Brad, you're exactly right. And that's just the thing. We know that there's so much more to a NASCAR race weekend. It's really a NASCAR race week now. We get started on Thursday. But yeah, whether it's Sea Lions or Canine Stars or American Axes, the American Cornhole League, we've got golf and racing simulators. We got a kids zone. There's so many things to see and do. So whether you're a family of four that wants to come down, kick back, ride your bike on the track, play some cornhole, maybe some bocce ball, you can do that. If you're a group that wants to come have a different experience and party throughout the weekend, we can make sure we take care of you there as well.
You know, I'm always curious how these acts are curated. How do you guys find, you know, the Sea Lions? How do you find the Cornhole League of America and get them to come to Echo Park Speedway? Because there's so many diverse things. You know, how does that happen?
Well, and you're exactly right. And it's not the easiest thing in the world to do, to try to find new, special, and different just about every year. But we work real hard to do just that. We've got an events team that really looks throughout not just this market, but throughout the entire country to try to find things that maybe have worked somewhere else or maybe we think that our fans would like. Because at the end of the day, y'all know very well, we work for the fans. So we want to find things that we know our fans will enjoy. Maybe they haven't seen anywhere else and they can see it here. And it's about creating memories. And whether it's the Canine Stars or any of those other activities, we know we're going to help create memories. And that's what it's all about.
I want to go out and see the American Cornhole League because I want to see if cornhole can be played without a 12-ounce beverage in your offhand. can you do that? I'm not sure that's a thing.
That's a great question, Doug. I don't think I've ever seen that happen, but you can go check it out on Saturday. I believe it's at 1 o'clock between the O'Reilly Auto Parts qualifying and the Cup Series qualifying. We're going to have a cornhole tournament. So Speedway Children's Charities is doing things throughout the entire weekend, whether it's the 50-50 or the online auction. They're putting on a cornhole tournament as well. So hopefully a lot of your listeners will come partake. It's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday.
But in all seriousness, Brandon, in a very short time, it feels like Echo Park Speedway has gotten this well-deserved reputation of we have no idea what's going to happen in the race. Is that fair?
It's a wild card, right? And so, yes, it's no secret that we needed a repave, and luckily Marcus Smith and Steve Swift got together and noodled out a way to make the racing even better at Atlanta Motor Speedway, now Echo Park Speedway. So the before, from 1960 to 2021, the record in lead changes was 47 at Echo Park Speedway. Since that time, in 9 races, 5 of those have surpassed that record. So we're at 57 lead changes now, and it's not just the lead changes. We've got passes for position throughout the entire pack. And listen, the closest 3-wide finish in NASCAR racing history. We are creating memories, and it's not just off track, it's on track as well.
Yeah, and look, we saw a great race back in the spring with Tyler Reddick going to victory lane. That was very compelling. Last year, I'm sure, is going to make a lot of the highlight reels, especially when you're marketing tickets, because you had your own Chase Elliott getting back to victory lane, which was a pretty cool thing. And it's not like these are easy either. We're all on the edge of our seats for the entire 400 miles.
Well, that's exactly right, Brad. It's edge of your seat excitement for 400 miles. But for these competitors, I'm sure it's white knuckled for just about 3 hours. These guys are hard at it. You know, it's super speedway style racing, but you got to have handling on the race car. You can't just go out there and mash the gas and hope to make it all the way around. It's very fast. It's pack style. You can throw a blanket over these guys for most of the race. So we know we've got 650 miles of on-track action through the 2 days. And listen, when cars aren't on track, we've already talked about it, we're going to make sure we have stuff for our fans to do, because a weekend at Echo Park Speedway is one we want you to come back to. So it's exciting for us. It's exciting for our fans. And it's night racing. It doesn't get much better than that.
You know, last year, Brandon, you guys, I believe, were the first race in the in-season challenge, and chaos ensued. This year, I think you guys are round 3. And by that time, I think we'll be looking probably for some chaos. That in itself is going to make what happens, at your place very, very exciting.
Chaos is the right word, Alexis. I tell you, I think we're race 20. So there's 26 in the regular season. We are a wild card. It's fun to be able to say that because you just don't ever know here. They're 3-wide. They're 4-wide. There's passes for position. There's passes for the lead. And with 6 races left to go in the regular season, these guys are going to be trying to position themselves as best they can to be in that chase.
All right, Brandon, let's get down to it. Tell folks how they can acquire tickets to Echo Park Speedway.
Absolutely. The Quaker State 400 available at Walmart, and Focused Health 250 race weekend is going to be here before we know it. So hopefully fans will go to echoparkspeedway.com, take a look around our website, find a price point that works well for you. Kids are absolutely free on Saturday. Kids are only $10 on Sunday, thanks to our partners at Ticketmaster. We try to be as cheap or cheaper than a matinee movie. If you choose to come here, you're going to get as much bang for your buck as you do anywhere.
And you'll get a better deal on the popcorn than you do at the theater.
That's exactly right.
All right, Brandon, always good to talk with you. Hope you guys have big crowds and great weather.
I hope three of y'all have a great day. Thank you very much for having me. We'll see you soon.
Brandon Hutchison, longtime friend of the Performance Racing Network and runs the show at Echo Park Speedway.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. Plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. That's 800-603-6298.
This is Daniel Suarez, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands, and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is, your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solution Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. That's 800-396-0150.
Thanks a lot for being here on Fast Talk. Brandon Hutchison really does a great job of running Echo Park.
Absolutely.
And it's been kind of fun for me because I've watched his career from basically being an intern and giving the weather report at the pre-meetings at what was then Atlanta Motor Speedway to now being really one of the best in the business.
He is. And he's always such a pleasure to talk to. I love talking to him.
Great energy there. Brad, we talked a lot about what went on at Naval Base Coronado, and now let's be Captain Obvious here. It's done. There were some issues, but do we go back, or is this a one and done?
All right, so if I had my wish, I'll take a little bit of a deviation from that in that I would love to see NASCAR run at a military base every year. Make that a stop. Does it have to be Naval Base Coronado next year? I don't know that it does. Maybe we can find another military base. Maybe we can find another branch of the military to do something similar, because I thought it was just that cool of an event. But let's take it as an opportunity to take NASCAR around to different parts of the country, and maybe parts of the country that aren't that we currently don't go with any one of our three top divisions. My only caveat on this is we should never run on a road course longer than 2.5 miles. Outside of that, take it anywhere you want.
Interesting. Yeah, I agree. Anything longer than 2.5 miles, I don't think I would love either. I think, you know, I'm going to go kind of similar to Brad, except that I'm going to say wherever we go, we should go 2 years in a row. And the reason why is because, and 2 years and that's it. So you run this year at Naval Base, next year at Naval Base Coronado, and then you go to a different Naval Base or military base. And the reason why is because there are some things that they could probably work out and do differently to make the event even better if they were to hold it at the same place again next year. And then it gives you a lead year to not only find another military base, but to work out the logistics and do all the things that you need to do to get prepared for the, you know, the next venue. And I think it could work out well. I mean, look, the partnership between NASCAR and the military is a longstanding one, and one that our fans really love and enjoy. And I think it's something that is a natural fit for us and for our community. So if we can continue that in a way that is meaningful and works for everybody, I say, why not do it?
I agree on the 2-year plan, because I heard a lot of stories, I'm sure everybody else did, about some of the things that didn't work. TikTok.
Yeah.
Entrance and egress, especially on Saturday. Not enough water, not enough food, vendors. You're taking a place that's not purpose-built. That's a Navy base.
Right.
It was never constructed as an entertainment venue, and saying, oh, let's bring in however many thousands of people and take care of them. Obviously, there's going to be some issues. Knowing how the military works, Brad, I think if you go back for a year or two, almost all of that stuff will go away.
Yeah, I agree. And look, NASCAR is a great track operator. There's no question about that. And you just have some things that are unanticipated, and especially with the crowds. You know, one thing to point out, number one, this was on an island, so there was only, you know, one or two routes in or off of the island. But think about a normal race weekend. Let's say when we go to Echo Park Speedway here in just a few weeks, or Sonoma Raceway this week. If you take a crowd of that size, there's a good chance about 25% of it to a third of it will actually be camping on property all weekend long. They're not a part of the everyday ingress and egress because they're already there. They're also not always a big part of all the concessions and different things like that. This was so unique in that not only was it a place where we've never been before, but it's a place where you don't just have the same type of crowd and the way they're coming in, the way they're enjoying the weekend, that you would at a purpose-built facility like what we go to the rest of the year.
That's a really good point.
And there was... There were lots of little elements like that. Well, one of the impressive things, Brad, I'm sure you know this, the actual percentage, but it was well over 50% of those people that came to this event had never been to a NASCAR race before.
Yeah, yep. And we're local to, I believe it was over half of the people that were local to that area.
So let's do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's rewind. You can make all the little fine-tuning adjustment things. And the next time, I think, could be even better. I loved the eye candy portion of this, though. I cannot say that the optically, if I was just watching it and I didn't listen, I would go, that just looks neat.
Yeah, I mean, well, you think about other forms of motorsports, and they have that at a lot of time. You know, you talk about the Grand Prix of Monaco, or you talk about Long Beach and IndyCar and all these different, they have those picturesque settings. I would love for us to have a few of those sprinkled in as well.
All right, so we'll see. I feel like, no, I'm not going to say it. The tide is turning. okay, I did that. But I don't feel good about it. That we'll be back there. I just think it, when we heard Ben Kennedy sort of do that, he left the door wide open.
Now, I will say, was it Jordan Bianchi, I think, who reported potentially that the Chicago street course may come back as well? So is there an opportunity to have multiple street courses on the schedule, do you think?
That, I wonder. I thought about the same thing, Alexis. Yeah. Like, what is NASCAR's capacity to be able to do this twice a year?
Exactly.
Because they talked about some of the barriers came from Chicago, and if you're having to move things around the country. Now, there's always a solution to this. Don't get me wrong. Typically, that solution involves lots of dollars with lots of zeros behind it. So what is the realistic feasibility of running two street circuits in a season?
Okay, then you have to drain one pond to fill another.
Yeah.
Meaning that race date has to come from someplace.
Exactly. Mm. So, I mean, I wouldn't sit here today and say it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to be back at the Naval base because of some rumors that I've heard and things. I mean, that was reported, I don't know, over a month ago in the Athletic that, you know, we were potentially going back to Chicago. So I think there's a few things that need to be worked out. I would be okay with it coming back, certainly. But I just don't know that NASCAR has the capacity to have two street courses in one season.
I will say this. I thought the racing was excellent. The actual on-track product.
I agree.
Was much better than what we saw in Chicago. Brad, your thoughts on that?
We only
have two to compare, but
Well, no, that's true. And I thought Chicago was great, too. Don't get me wrong. I like the layout of that circuit with long straightaways and 90-degree corners. I thought that was really cool. But for this one, to be able to see passing, yes, we're going to remember all the chaos, carnage, and violence. No question about that. But to think about, to watch that battle with Corey Heim and Tyler Reddick at the end of this race, for example, to watch the battle on Saturday between Austin Hill and Taylor Gray, which did turn into a full contact battle, and Austin Hill kind of moving Taylor Gray out of the way to win the race, to see everything that we saw during the Truck Series event as well on Friday, they made a track that was very, very raceable and one where you could make moves and you could make passes on the racetrack.
Nope, they certainly did, so kudos. By the way, Chaos, Carnage, and Violence, that sounds like a 90s hair band.
I was going to say, is that the name of our band?
That's my favorite thing.
I think I have their greatest hits at home.
I'll play the triangle.
Really? Nice. You're going to take my instrument away from me? That means I'm relegated to the tambourine. Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Is triangle the cowbell also?
They're different but similar.
Similar.
In the fact they require no discernible talent. All right, we'll come back. A little green flag, black flag.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This July, it's more than a race. It's a full-on, wide-open NASCAR weekend. The Quaker State 400, available at Walmart, takes over Echo Park Speedway July 11th and 12th. Engines roaring, lights blazing. It's high-speed action on the track and tailgates that turn into stories. All under the lights. Bring your crew, make memories. It's a summer night you won't forget. The Quaker State 400, available at Walmart. Get tickets now at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
This is Chase Briscoe, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
I'm Andrew Kurland, along with David Stiles, here to give you the latest NASCAR news and opinions each weekday on PRN's Garage Pass. You'll hear everything from race recaps to feature stories, industry news, and chatter from around the garage.
I just think it's interesting to see kind of what your heart rate does in moments of calm or, you know, when things start to ramp up and how quickly it can kind of recover from that.
With Garage Pass, you won't miss a moment from green to checkered flag.
Victory Junction is a year-round camp for children with chronic and life-threatening illnesses and serious medical needs. We'll see 120 kids with spina bifida, 120 kids with craniofacial disorders, 120 kids who have diabetes or who have asthma. From 6 to 16 years old, it empowers them to just be the kids that they are that week. Not their disease, not their illness, they're just a kid. If you know a child that can benefit from Victory Junction, we'll do everything in our power to make sure that child comes to camp.
To be with you here on Fast Talk, coming to you from the PRN studios at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Brad Gilley is tucked away in his private bunker down in Fort Worth. A lot of security there. You can't get in.
I love seeing Snoopy behind
you. Thank
you
very much. Oh, wait, this side. There we go.
I like this look because we can see Brad on our Zoom call better than your virtual background that you normally.
Well, thank you, Doug. I appreciate that.
Kind of a little window into the soul of Brad Gilley here. Okay.
About an hour ago, you would have seen a couple of dogs sleeping behind me as well.
Well, that's always at my house.
Absolutely.
There's always going to be some canine activity.
There are still a couple dogs sleeping behind you. They're just stuffed.
Oh, that's true. Just, that is very true.
She means they are toy dogs.
Yes.
He does not have stuffed dogs in there.
Who doesn't like Snoopy?
There's no taxidermy going on.
Sometimes I forget this is a radio show.
Let's just clear that up. All right, let's do this now.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
Yeah, I think all those people listening in their cars right now going, what are they talking about? Stuffed dogs in the studio?
Just keeping you on your toes, folks.
Green flag, black flag, here's the way we play. I'm going to read several carefully prepared statements. If our panel mulls those over and they agree with the statement, they give it a green flag. Okay, very loudly. And if they disagree, it gets a black flag. And David is off today, so he took the other one with him. We don't have any more than those two. So here we go. Let's start with Alexis Erickson. Here we go. If there was a Buzz Lightyear award, it would go to Bubba Wallace. He never gave up. He never surrendered.
Yeah, that, you know what? I'm going to go green flag with that. Nicely done to whoever came up with that. Toy Story 5, obviously, coming out not that long ago. I heard it's very good. I haven't seen it yet, but for folks who want to see it, I heard it's good. Yeah, I mean, look, Bubba Wallace had a heck of a day yesterday. He, at one point, was two laps down after losing a wheel and came back to finish second. I think he was a little dejected after the race because he thought what could have been had that not happened. Perhaps maybe I would have been standing in victory lane. But that team has got to be proud of what they were able to overcome yesterday.
All right, Brad Gilley.
I will give it a green flag. And if I could add Corey Day to that as well, because his weekend went pretty awry, and he still finished top 10 Saturday.
All right, Doug, what do you think?
I love that. I'm like Alexis. I like the Toy Story reference. That's also from Galaxy Quest, by the way.
Yeah.
Never give up.
Yes.
Never surrender. Yeah.
So, yeah, and way to go, Bubba. Good job there. Second place on a road course. Thought he might win the doggone thing.
Yeah.
Here we go. All right. Doug gives it the green. There we go. Let's see. Brad Gilley gets this one next. When I jump the fence, first driver I'm going up to is Sheldon Creed.
Black flag. No, black flag.
Where are you going?
Sheldon. But I just feel that there are, I don't know. If it was Saturday, heck, I don't even know where I'm going. I'm just not going there.
Poor Sheldon.
I don't know. Doug Rice, what?
No, because I just felt like Sheldon just took some shade, so I'm going to say no, I'd run over to him.
Yeah. I like Sheldon. I think he's a great conversationalist. it is funny, though, that guy felt, you know, so inclined to hop. I would never, especially on a Navy base.
The dude looked like a ninja, though.
He did,
He got back across those fences in no time and was so proud of himself.
He was very proud.
And this was the first time I've ever seen NCIS in real life. And it wasn't
right.
Part of the TV show.
And apparently they have social media, and they were posting about it as well in a fun way.
Yeah. Oh, man.
In a fun
way. They find out that maybe he was maybe a little medicated or
you think?
Sheldon felt that way.
He said, I couldn't hear anything he said.
He said, I think he was wasted.
Feeling no pain, as they say. Okay, over to Doug Rice. We need more Brendan Gaughan. In truck racing.
Oh, we need more Brendan Gaughan and everything. Just give me all the Brendan Gaughan you have.
I love Brendan Gaughan. He's obviously a great friend of the Performance Racing Network and the Gaughan family as a whole. So, yes, give me more Brendan Gaughan.
Yeah, green flag. One of the best parts of this weekend was getting Brendan Gaughan out of NASCAR retirement and putting him in a truck. I want more of it.
All right, here we go. We go to Alexis Erickson again. Denny Hamlin will win the NASCAR in-season tournament.
Oh, I thought that question was going somewhere else. I thought you were going to say he was going to win the regular season points. The in-season tournament, I don't know. I mean, last year it was, you know,
Ty Dillon and Ty Gibbs
at the end of the thing. There's too many variables to that. I'm going to say black flag. Black flag on that.
All right, Brad, what do you think there?
Black flag. We do go to Echo Park Speedway week 3 of the in-season tournament.
Okay. And we go to Doug Rice.
I'm going to make that unanimous. Black flag. I think Denny's going to win a lot of things this year. The in-season tournament, not on his dance card.
All right. Brad Gilley will give you this one. We got one left here. Noah Gregson was justified to be upset at Kevin Magnussen.
Oh, I'll say black flag. I'm thinking, man, among all of the things to put yourself on social media with, I don't know that having an argument with a world-class driver, even if he wrecked you, was the best thing based on current performance.
All right, Doug?
Yes, he was justified. You got invited to this little dinner party, and you come over, with your little Formula One thing going on, and you tank a guy that people love. And you did. You tanked him. So, yeah. Way to go, Noah.
You know, it was very Ricky Stenhouse Jr.-esque as he gets wrecked out of the race and he waits. Yeah. He waits around. I mean, he had time to think about this before it happened. I'm gonna side with Doug on this one. I think he was justified. I don't know. He might be regretting the fact that it is now alive and well on the internet and everybody else gets to see it. But I think he was justified to be upset. I don't know if he handled it the best way, but
I don't think Noah is upset at
probably
all
not.
About that.
Probably
that is
not.
So, what is it all kids say? It was so on brand for
it
him.
It was
and that's
on
why
brand.
People love him.
I'm just saying, stand your ground against someone you're going to race with next week. Not going to race with him next week.
Or maybe that's why.
Yeah, no, that's exactly why. Yeah. Go pick on this guy. It's not like you're going to. Yeah. It's like cussing somebody out at the intersection.
Sure.
You're not going to see him again.
Probably not.
Hopefully.
Until the next red light.
Until the next red light.
Yeah. Yeah, be careful with that. Hey, Magnussen did have the fastest lap of the day. How about that?
Yeah, he did. That's pretty good. He got the Xfinity fastest lap of the day, and he finished 27th, I think. Yeah. In all seriousness, I kind of appreciate the international flair that brings to it.
I do, too.
That makes up – but the fact that the world is having a great time in America at the World Cup, though, that's nice.
Yeah.
I spent an hour watching videos of – Scottish and Irish people celebrating eating brisket, Brad.
It's the best.
Nice. I love that. We've been engrossed in it, actually.
Yeah.
Well, you're telling me.
Have you seen roving bands of people in Fort Worth so far?
I have not. No. But I was in Austin all last week, so I wasn't anywhere near Cowboys Stadium. Or wait, what are we allowed to call it? Because they took away all the branding from stadiums for the World Cup, but no, I have not been near that part of town.
All right, but it does my heart good to see that people are actually coming to America and saying, "This is pretty cool here."
I've consumed more of that than I have of the actual World Cup. So.
My time spent watching people celebrate America has outdone my time spent watching actual football. All right, we'll be right back.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family. It's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper, rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X. Protect your engine to the max with ZMAX.
This is Ross Chastain, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's time for a PRN Pit Stop. Today, we're getting to know Nick Yeoman.
Let's drag him up.
Who's the first person you called when you found out you were joining the PRN booth this year?
It was my dad, he's the reason I'm a racing fan. There's pictures of me in a crib just like hours old, and I've got like a Bill Elliott, like Coors Light number 9 hat on. It's like much larger than my head, and I have a large head. So he was definitely the one that I reached out to first.
What's the best advice you have for an aspiring broadcaster?
Well, it's going to sound silly, but it really is as simple as call what you see.
What's the craziest call you've made in your career?
Turn number 2 for the Indianapolis 500, when Scott Dixon soared through the air, I called it live, and seeing Scott Dixon's car fly through the air, in flame, fire, debris everywhere, that was probably the biggest one that stands out to me.
This was a PRN Pit Stop with Nick Yeoman.
Carl, problem today was handling our video production. David Stiles on Much Deserved Vacation. So, nice job, Andrew. You can make me look better. That would be great. But that's a miracle. That's too much to ask. And by the way, props also to David Stiles, who is now working on PA for the summer shootout here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, which is a great event. 10 Tuesdays out of the summer, they race Legends cars and Bandoleros. I mean, last year, on a given day, you would see Bubba Wallace and Shane Van Gisbergen out here racing. And this year, very popular that everybody enjoys their time at Summer Shootout. All right, it's time for this.
One last thing.
Let's go with Brad Gilley.
You know, one of the things I think is cool that we've seen this year are the number of first-time winners. In the Cup Series, Corey Heim yesterday. We had Carson Hocevar at Talladega. We had Ty Gibbs get his first career Cup win at Bristol Motor Speedway. Over in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, we saw Sheldon Creed win at Echo Park Speedway. William Sawalich get a big win at Rockingham. Corey Day picking up a huge win at Dover. Caden Honeycutt even got his first career Truck Series victory, which I think is cool. We have a lot of other drivers who were still anticipating their first win. The future is bright in our sport of NASCAR, and I'm loving it.
Did you mention Sheldon Creed?
He did.
I did mention Sheldon Creed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't forget him this time.
I was so glad.
I know.
To see that happen.
I know. He finished second like a million times before he got that win. It was really great to see. Couple things. First, this points battle that we've got going down at the bottom of the chase standings is very, very tight. I mean, you've got like 10 points that separate like, you know, six cars, which is going to be fantastic to watch. And then I get to go to Sonoma this weekend. I don't travel very much anymore. I used to travel at the beginning of my career. I would go to every race that we did. And I don't do that very much anymore, but I'm going to Sonoma this weekend. I'm very much looking forward to it, to being with the crew in Northern California, one of the best picturesque racetracks that there is, in my opinion.
As nice as wine country is, the little downtown area of, what is it, San Rafael?
Mm-hmm.
You get your Pico pizza.
Pico, yeah, and that's
some of the best pizza on the planet.
Yeah.
It truly is. You think Northern California, it's, trust me.
Just don't order the arugula
salad.
Yeah.
So, two things here. Number one, it is my wife's Penny's birthday.
Happy birthday, Miss Penny.
Happy birthday.
I missed a great many of them because, as you pointed out before the show, Alexis, I was always in California on her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And usually our anniversary, too, which we don't celebrate that much. But so happy birthday, hon. Hope it's a great one. And one last thing, was really proud of what NASCAR did this past weekend. And I'm going to join the bandwagon here. That was not easy. Logistically, it was mission impossible. Dun, dun, dun. but they made it possible. Yeah, there were some bumps along the way. There were going to be, but overall, the racing product was a lot of fun. Yeah, there were some crashes and big long red flags, but the event itself was not a red flag. It was a home run by every measure of the word. So NASCAR, United States Navy, the fans, well played.
I love how much the drivers bought into it, too. Yeah. They did so much pre-event media. They did that movie on Amazon, which you could tell just had like a big budget. It was like a 30-minute short movie.
I finally watched that.
I mean, amazing.
Yeah.
And just a lot of buy-in, I think, from everybody, and that helped.
And I would be remiss if I didn't say great job by Prime. They have a built-in advantage. They are not constricted on either end. If they want a two-hour pre-race show, they can have it. If they want a three-hour post-race show, they can do it. But their delivery of it was excellent, and most of those broadcasters will be on the TNT coverage.
Yeah.
So a lot of things. I know Dale Jr. and Adam Alexander slide right over there.
Crazy to think that their run is already done.
Boom, just like that. Yeah. 5 weeks, and they were done. TNT gets 5 weeks, and then it's Lee Diffie time. I love that, too. So,
is that like time time?
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit like Diffie time. That could be a thing. All right, for Brad Gilley, Alexis Erickson, Andrew Curlin, Kent Bernhardt, I'm Doug Rice. Thanks a lot. Remember, keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at toyotaracingusa.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.